Hi, and welcome to the Macro Show. Today, we're issuing a crude oil alert. Is crude headed higher or lower? We're going to answer that question. Is housing market peaked? We're going to take a look at some regional Fed surveys to see what's going on with inflation. And is the next payroll report about to be a dud? Well, we're going to go to the Dallas Fed to get that answer. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today on the Macro Show. Now, before we get into our headline story, I was recently interviewed by Mike Ippolito from Blockworks.io. This guy, he does a phenomenal job in interviews. It was really a great pleasure. I think we're only scheduled for 30 or 45 minutes and we went an hour. I'll link that in the description below. Some of it you've heard before about getting into this QE is deflationary, but we tackled a whole bunch of other topics. So look for that in the description below. So let's talk about crude. You know, and to start with this, we have to go to a chart, because it wasn't until I started looking at the chart of crude oil that something kind of didn't make a lot of sense. So let's take a look. And so here's a 6-month chart of the continuous crude oil futures. And you say, well, I don't really see anything there. And you might not. And we can zoom out a year and you'll still see, well, I don't get what you're looking at. We can even go back 5 years and say, well, okay, so it's still lower than its 5-year high. But what happens when you zoom in to the 90-day on a 2-hour chart? You see something pretty interesting, and that is the $66 to $67 range, well, there's some peaks. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 peaks at the $66 to $67 range. Now, what does that tell you about crude oil? That somebody is selling all the crude they can between 66 and 67. They're happy to take that price. Now, is there something more going on here? Perhaps a relationship with the bond market? Well, let's go over and take a look at the Fred charts I pulled up here. Crude oil, West Texas Intermediate on the left side. We got 30-year treasury yields on the right. And really, prior to the great financial crisis, there wasn't a strong relationship between the two. You can see yields going down, and I know that's probably going to get annoying, so let's go and fix that real quick. So you see yields going down, at the same time, you see crude oil going up. So you don't really see much of a relationship, but then going after the great financial crisis, you yields crash, oil crashes, they both rise together, fall together, rise together, start to fall together, and then there's downward pressure on crude here, just doesn't really get anywhere, and then they both fall together and some more, kind of rise together, and then fall together, and they've been rising together. So is the bond market telling us something here that we're seeing in those crude oil prices? Well, let's go and take a look at the bond market. Let's take a look at TLT here over a 90-day period. What do we see? That it's been in a bottoming pattern for the since late February, and you see a very nice bottoming pattern. We talked about this on the Friday Macro Show, where it looks like a Wyckoff bottom. And if that plays out, then we're pretty close to a breakout of this, perhaps in the next few days or weeks, to see this break through the 140 to 140 range and then the next up cycle in bonds. Now, so how does that tie into perhaps crude oil? Well, let's take a look and compare this to, say, energy stocks. How about XLE? Well, let's go over here and let's overlay. We'll put TLT here against itself. And let's go over to XLE. And I'll hold the mouse over this so you can see it. They kind of look maybe a bit of an inverse relationship. And let's zoom out a little bit. And you can see, kind of an inverse relationship. Is that possible? Well, let's get rid of TLT for a second, because if you're not familiar with that, that is a 20-plus year treasury on bond ETF. And let's put in, I believe it is slash or TY, I think, did I get that right? TYX, yes, okay. Sometimes you need a slash, sometimes you don't. And wow, you overlay 30-year treasury yield and you see, there is a pretty interesting relationship there. Let's zoom out over, say, even a 2-year period. You can see that relationship is pretty strong with XLE. So if we are actually seeing a bottom in bond prices, which would be equally consistent with a top in treasury yields, then what is that telling us about the probability that energy stocks are headed down? That would be bearish. And that crude oil potentially is also headed down. So it's kind of interesting to see these two forces in the market working together. So that's why I wanted to issue kind of this crude oil alert today to say, hey, maybe crude can go higher, but when you start to look at the bond market about to break out, It tells you that there's an increasing probability of crude oil and energy stocks heading lower. And why is that? What is it telling us that's going on? It's telling us financial conditions are tightening. Now, on the Friday show coming up, we're going to get even deeper into this dollar prison to kind of look at the relationship between crude oil prices and, you know, quantitative easing tightening down financial conditions. But it starts to make sense if the Fed really is indeed locking dollars into the financial system, as I believe they are through quantitative easing, and you've probably heard me talk about that on this show and other interviews, then it starts to make sense why you'll see commodity prices, crude oil being one of them, start to head lower as demand goes away, and with that, you get energy stocks. And if you want to go play with some charts, you'll see they're not perfect, but a frequently an inverse relationship between XLE and TLT. So be sure to check that out. All right, let's go on and into the economic data, and then we'll get into the housing sector here because there's some interesting stuff going on with that. How about the Bank of Japan core CPI, core, remember, excluding food and energy, went from nothing the previous month to a deflationary minus 0.1%. So, you know, for all the people that keep saying that the U.S. is going to see hyper or high rates of inflation, remember, Japan's been doing this QE and fiscal thing for decades, and they're not getting inflation at all. Now let's move on into the Eurozone. Looks like in Germany, business expectations up, current assessment up, business climate up. Why is that? The Eurozone's reopening and it's going pretty well. So we expect to see the sentiment surveys reflect that, and they certainly are. Let's go down to the U.S. data. The Red Book data was pretty hot at 13.6%, but I went back a year ago and it was from a pretty solid negative year over year back 12 months ago. So can't put a lot of stake on this is going, especially without the month over month data. I don't know if that's gone or if it's just on temporary hiatus. How about housing prices? The index month over month went up 1.4%, year over year 13.9%. Now, some of you, you know, younger people on the sidelines looking to buy a house, you might be thinking, man, I'm never going to own a home and maybe I should just go buy one and hope for the best. You know, I remember back in the 80s, you couldn't give a home away where I live. I mean, homes sat empty on the market for over a year. And after the financial bust, homes were cheap. Remember, you know, these cycles go through boom and bust. And once all the people that are tapped out from buying are done, well, what happens to prices next? Now, let's see what the consumer thinks about that, because really that's what matters. How about spending intentions from, this is a conference board survey, consumer buying plans, the next 6 months, homes, well, that down, way down, near low part of their overall trends. How about for appliances and automobiles? Boom, really low. I wouldn't know that with autos, but they were up there pretty stolidly. And we've seen this chart before, the home builder confidence. Now, where we're going to see home builder confidence is they're building a ton of homes. There's over 300,000 empty new homes sitting out there. But look at home buyer confidence. I mean, you've got to go back to prior to 1985. To find out maybe when home buyer confidence was lower than it is right now. And you come down to new home sales and they missed expectations, fell 5.9% down to 863,000. So perhaps some indication that we're seeing also a peak in housing, and that is really, really bad for the U.S. economy. Let's take a look at the Richmond Manufacturing and Services Index. Both expanded at a faster rate. The manufacturing index went from 17 to 18, so it was much very slight increase, and the services went from 22 to 29, and that makes sense because services sector has been lagging the manufacturing index, and it tends to lag it. Let's go and look at the details. Here is the 5th District, the Richmond Fed. And what's the really part of this that I'm overly interested in? Well, that's going to be the price trend. And what do we see? Prices paid, this is year over year, up 9.82%. But look at prices received, up 5.41%. Meaning manufacturers cannot pass these big and prices increases on. They haven't been able to. So they're getting what's called squeezed at the margin. What do we see? Employees increased, wages increased. But the big print on this number is vendor lead time. So you're seeing that, you know, vendors are getting orders in. The backlog of orders is up 11 to 36. But how about capacity utilization? This is really where you get inflation, when slowed from 14 to 10. So, you know, you're not seeing the factories being quite as utilized for all this demand. Perhaps, you know, even the factories know that vendors are just getting their orders in way ahead of time and not needing them filled immediately. How about the services sector? And what do we find here? Same kind of story. Prices paid up 5.34% from a year ago. Prices received up 3.37%, which means the services sector also getting squeezed at the margin. Wages up quite a bit from 30 back in March up to now 40. You see 40% of firms raising wages. And so lots of demand for higher wages, getting, meaning service sector is getting squeezed at the margin. Let's go on to, we've got some 2- and 5-year note auctions. And how did those go? Well, they went actually really well. This was probably one of the best 2-year auctions in a long time. Bid to cover, this is was over a 6-month average. Demand from foreign bidders was up. Direct bidders, domestic bidders was up, leaving the primary dealers with one of the smallest takes they've had in a while, despite a $60 billion offering. And how about today's 5-year note auction? This went off really well. And you would think, despite how well it went, that the bond market would have had a positive reaction. Well, let's just put it this way. Sellers were undeterred as they said, hey, we don't care that there's a demand for treasuries and people are buying them. We're going to sell anyways. And that tells you we're getting near the end of this bottoming pattern, as we discussed on the Friday show. Let's go back to the economic data. See, we've got mortgage applications down 4.2% week over week. This is a number that needs to keep going up. The refinance index is really what's driving it down. The purchase index up slightly. So perhaps, you know, people looking to refi are not interested at these higher yields. We had the crude oil from the Department of Energy today, the inventory report. Crude oil inventory is down almost 1.7 million. Distillates down 3 million barrels and gasoline down 1.75 million. Overall, this is a fantastic report saying there's demand here, and yet we didn't see crude oil breaking out to new highs. So what does it tell you? Perhaps this demand story is coming to an end, or perhaps production's going to go up enough and that's going to offset. And last, we want to go over and visit the Dallas Fed for the real-time population survey, trying to figure out, are we about to see another dud of a payroll report? Well, this is pretty interesting. The employment rate in the current population survey, now this is run between days between May 9 through 15th. And you can see here's a real-time population survey and in the current one in red. And the employment rate in current population survey is ticking down from 71.8 to 71.7, suggesting that this payroll boom from a couple months ago is fading and fading quickly. And how about the unemployment rate in the current population survey? This is headed higher, 7.1 to 7.2. So it's reflecting a little bit higher unemployment. Again, not what you're looking for in terms of job creation. And then we got the labor force participation rate. It says slipping here. And it's gone from this recent peak of 77.9, 77.3, now 76.5. Tells you, based on this survey, the smaller percentage of the eligible workforce who are able to participate in the labor force are participating. And that is not a strong indicator for a big payroll report. And without a big payroll report, well, we know bond's about to break out pretty soon and the glory to the kingdom will be back. Anyways, I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, as always. Appreciate all of you Beam fans. Tomorrow, we are going to have a special show. Momentum Timer Pro goes beta. So we're going to do a whole show going through it. Again, to sign up, it's going to be free. So you don't want to miss out on that. And we'll do more shows on Momentum Timer Pro because it's going to be free for a while. And I want you to get excited about what Momentum can do to help you become a better investor. Anyways, again, I'm your host, Steve Van Meter. Thanks for watching. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only and not intended to provide investment advice. Shows not to be construed as a recommendation or participation to buy or sell any security, financial instrument, or to participate in a particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, opinions expressed in this video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.